So, you know, I mean, I don't know. Look, you're about to hold elections that are going to be illegal because your COI hasn't met and the national COI hasn't met and there's no PNB members appointed to the COI and everything you do is about to be illegal. But whatever, you know, just debate the elevator or something. I mean, that's, you know, that's a legal issue too. But, you know, don't apologize to the banned and fired. That can wait. The elevator, the whatever. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I really think I'm going to consult with somebody wiser than myself before I actually turn in my candidate statement and all of that. This is all I can really say to you. With respect to, oh, I'm sure there's many, many, many important issues that have been dealt with here today. I wish I could remember what they were. After 4 hours, it's hard.
Raphael, 10 seconds.
10 seconds? I'll pass it on.
Well, you're not going to take it?
I mean, what's the point?
Of the 15 minutes we allotted, how much has been used?
Well, I've just been timing each person 2 minutes.
Okay, so
that
ends public comment.
Yeah, we probably are up to 15 minutes.
No, wait, excuse me. I'm sorry. We really can't start around again. We actually... Okay. Now, members of the board, we have... it seems to me that what we should do... let me just put this forward and see if this is correct. You may have other ideas. Before we go back to the PMB, we should probably vote on those issues that are left hanging prior to public comment. We have about 4 or 5 of them. Then we would go back to the PMB. I'm asking if the board can also agree not to debate them again.
No, we're
not. We've already debated them, so all we're going to do is go to votes.
Right.
Some of them have amendments. Let's take a look at the motion by Jane Halloran first. These may not be in order, but let's go them. Let's just do them. Jane Halloran's motion is an attempt to achieve gender balance on the IPC, and her motion was that two women of the LSB be nominated to replace candidates on the LSB. Excuse me, on the IPC.
Not candidates, done. They're already sitting.
Yeah, that's right. They're actually, they were candidates, but they're not serving. Yeah. They're people who were appointed by the lab to the IPC, but they are not functioning. Julie Chavez Rodriguez and Earl Grant. The motion is that two women from this LSB be nominated to replace these two and to be seated on the IPC. All right, now apparently I'm not going
to... Unless we have questions, we've heard it several times. Can we ask if we need to have it read and just go to votes now?
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, but apparently I didn't get it correct.
Let's just change the nominated to elected. It'll be fine.
Point of order. It should be read before we vote.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Now, maybe the secretary, if you have the wording.
In order to have the necessary gender balance on the IPC, resolved that two women from the LSB be elected to take the place of two of the three present lab members, so that the LSB as opposed to the lab is represented and two members who find it difficult to attend are replaced.
All those in favor of the motion signify by raising your cards. Okay. Opposed? 12?
Yeah.
Opposed?
Yes, sir.
Abstentions?
1.
All right, that clearly passes. Now, we have the motion. The main motion was made by Jim around town hall meetings, but it has a substitute motion by Ed. Could you read? Do you have those to read? We're looking at the substitute motion first.
The substitute motion from Pearl. That town hall meetings be arranged by an ad hoc committee of the LSB, which shall include volunteers from among listeners.
Okay.
at the next meeting. I really would say that.
Yes.
At our next meeting.
Okay. Shall be arranged at our next at our next meeting. Next LSB meeting.
Point of order.
A point of order, David.
This should be it's an emotion to amend by substitution. So this vote should be whether this wording substitutes for the original wording, and then whichever way it turns out, we would then vote on the motion as amended or not amended.
Okay, I actually accept that as a very positive remark. So the question here is, shall Ed Curls substitute the motion?
Don, I have a point of order.
I mean, okay.
Surprise.
Just before we go to the point of order, shall Ed Curls substitute the motion? Be approved, David,
you're saying. Then Ed's motion shall be substituted for the main motion.
For the main motion by Jim. Now, before we vote, yes.
My impression was that Ed had agreed to Leslie's wording, which is crucial, and the question is...
Can we hear it?
Okay, the point being that any listener sponsor who wishes to be a part of this committee can, by attendance, have a vote.
The specific wording was for all listeners to attend the first meeting or notify the committee of their desire to be on the committee.
That what?
It's to incorporate Okay, so the secretary should be sure that clarifying wording is part of Ed's substitute motion.
And then read it to us when you have it all put together.
A member is asking Terry that substitute motion be read, including Ed's wording and Leslie's wording.
By the end of January, the secretary.
Yes.
Who's his community? No?
That town hall meetings be arranged by an ad hoc committee of the LSB, which shall include volunteers from among listeners. The planning committee to involve listeners as voting members who attend the first meeting or notify the committee of their desire to be on the committee.
Is there clarity now on that wording?
No.
Those in favor of the M. Curl substitute motion, including the language of Leslie Radford, raise your card.
I'm confused.
Opposed?
Four.
Abstentions? No abstentions.
One.
Well, there is one. Okay, so it's 8-4 with one abstention. So that passes.
So that will be the motion we vote on.
Now, the main motion.
Now we vote on the substituted motion.
The substituted motion.
Don, could I have a point of information?
No.
Well, you know what? I think
we're trying
to get through these votes if we can. Now, David Abelson is pointing out that now we vote on the substituted motion.
Right.
And let's do that now. Is it pertain to this vote?
Absolutely.
All right, very quickly.
I want to know when this is going to start.
The next meeting, we would establish the ad hoc committee at the next meeting.
I guess that's why I voted.
That's what it's
okay.
Said.
Those in favor of the substituted motion, raise your card.
One, two, three.
Six. Opposed?
One, two, three.
Abstentions?
A lot of people have.
One, two.
Four.
Four abstentions.
Right, 6-3-4, it passes.
Do we have a quorum? It
needs 7 to pass.
What's that? It
needs 7 to pass. It needs a majority of the quorum to pass.
No, no. Point of order.
Of those
no,
voting.
As long as we still have quorum, it only requires a majority of those present and voting with abstentions counted as not a vote.
You're right.
Okay, let's move on ahead. We're going to look at Cherna's IPC election.
For point of information?
So you'll need to be a part of this. Does the secretary have the wording on Cherna Gluck's IPC election motion?
Don, just a minute. Point of information on that last motion. Is there any provisions or for us to do something before the next meeting, or nothing happens?
You know,
shouldn't there be a call for the task force?
May I make the suggestion? We have put off town hall meetings way, way too long.
Right.
It seems to me I would be willing, as chair of this board, to have people who would like to volunteer. I mean, the reason the retreat ad hoc committee worked so well is the people were committed to the project. They really worked hard on it, and they produced for us. It was a great retreat, logistically and otherwise. So I will act as a clearinghouse, and I'll post to the entire board, please submit your names immediately, unless there's objection, because we're not looking for a political lineup or factions or anything. We're looking for people who want to serve on the board, who are committed to incorporating listener sponsors. So if people want to send me their names, I can share that with the whole board.
Can we continue with our voting
point
of order and then get back to the issue of mechanisms on any of these things on which we're voting? We're not going to get to the TNV discussion unless
yes,
we...
That's true, except we were waiting for the secretary to find the wording of
well,
the
I'll
board,
read it.
Which is the price. Okay, now he has it, so go ahead.
Harry,
would you speak to that?
I think the mic is cutting out. So,
yeah, but it's over there. So I'll just speak. It's as distributed with just a minor correction. Whereas the ground rules for the election of four representatives of collectives to the IPC changed in the middle of the election process, and whereas two of the collectives nominated more than one individual to represent their collective, and whereas the collectives vary in size and therefore have an unequal number of votes, be it resolved that if the results of the current election of the four collective representatives to the IPC are skewed so that any one collective has more than one member elected, that STV be used to replace the additional member or members, and that the remaining two seats be given to the next highest vote getters from two other collectives.
Point of information.
Yes.
How does this, we're inserting members from other collectives?
No.
So adjusting for diversity. What takes precedence here?
Well, first, the vote has to be counted.
Right.
Then adjust it if necessary.
Adjust
in terms of according
first to or diversity first.
According to collectives first, then diversity, because that will in fact affect the diversity balance. There is one woman in the collective list of nominees.
So would the other candidates be back in the pool for diversity?
What other candidates?
If somebody is bumped for STV for collective. Mm-hmm. Do they go back in the candidate pool to be put on for diversity, or are they out entirely?
It's not an issue because there's only one person. There's only one woman.
What I'm asking here, Sharna, and I don't mean to be obscure, but I apparently am, if we get two members from one collective, and one of them is a woman, and she gets bumped, does she go back in the candidate pool and is then eligible to sit as a woman
No, I would think that she would not get bumped. In order to achieve gender diversity, she would not get bumped.
Okay, so diversity takes first precedence, and then the dual membership on the collective would take second. Okay, so diversity of gender, for instance, would take precedence over, even if the male got more votes, it would be the male who would be bumped.
Is then adjusted.
If a man gets the most votes, a woman gets the second number of votes from the same collective, what happens at that point?
So then gender takes precedence, no. Finally. Well, in the end, it does.
Okay, now, I think hopefully people are clear on this after that exchange. We cannot hold this up.
No, let's just vote.
You mean? So we're going to vote on this. Those in favor of this motion by Sherman Russell for IPC elections, raise your cards. Seven opposed. One.
No. How can you miss it?
Give him two votes.
It's the cat in the hat over there. Hard to miss.
Just count. Go, count.
Bigger than everybody.
We all knew Dave was bigger than everybody. It's a long time ago.
8-3. Abstentions. 1-2. That motion passes. The motion on the elevator at the station, this has been slightly changed from the original one is the functional elevator to be installed and maintained by staying on the second floor at the station, fully accessible. But Leslie, or the secretary, could you give us the slightly altered wording?
The final warning includes the first three whereases, and be it resolved that the LSB accepts the principle that a functional elevator be installed and maintained, thus making the second floor at the station fully accessible. I should use that one.
All right, that's very clear.
It's not an Apple Pie.
Those in favor of that motion, raise your red cards.
Thank you.
I thought that was on the same sheet.
No.
It's the Terry has the motion. I did it on the fly. It's not written.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Resolved that there shall be a 30-minute item of PMB business at each LSB meeting so that the LSB may take positions.
We voted on the amendment. Yeah. That's
the
point of order.
Well,
we don't have to do the first.
This takes a two-thirds vote. Whether we have 30 minutes every agenda for A and B.
I want it noted that Israel did not abstain.
Point of personal privilege.
Withdrawn.
It was withdrawn, but I plan on reintroducing it another time.
Okay, we're turning now to the agenda item, and I believe this is very well. Being the last agenda item.
Yeah, I would like to move that we have a brief report from us so people are aware of the issues. We don't have the finalized agenda, and some of the key issues, we don't have the text of the motions that are supposed to come out of the committee. So I'd like to recommend that we have a meeting a week from this Tuesday evening, 2 hours long, rather than try to shoehorn this into this meeting, when we will have people will have heard this brief report, and we'll be able to tell them exactly what the agenda are and whatever text of motions coming out of committees we have, so that the discussion can be more grounded. So I'm moving that we spend 10 to 15 minutes on a report now, and that we hold a meeting a week from Tuesday. And I recognize that's only 9 days advance notice, but we are allowed in times of short notice to do that. I'll be traveling, so I won't be able to make it any later than that. So a special meeting to deal with PND issues a week from Tuesday at 7:30 p.m.
Okay, that's a motion. Is there a second to that motion?
I have a question.
Do I hear a second?
Sorry,
second.
It's been moved and seconded that we have a two-hour kind of mini town hall report focusing on TMB Tuesday in 2 weeks.
Wait,
what's the exact date of that?
No.
1 week.
28th, because that's before the meeting. It has to be before the meeting.
Any discussion of that?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, my concern is that we passed a motion that to enable the LSB to take positions in order to give direction to our PMB members at an informal meeting that is not an LSB meeting. There is not, I mean, we could talk and talk and talk, but they're not going to have direction from the LSB. That's my concern.
Sharda is absolutely right. There would be no official business conducted if that meeting would be.
Point of information?
Excuse me, the chair recognizes Donna, and then I'll come to Israel.
I wanted to mention that besides having quarterly meetings, PMB now has monthly meetings. So I don't think that it is just so important to meet within 8 or 9 days or whatever. Because we have another meeting on the telephone each in between the quarterly meetings. So I don't think it's that urgent. Dave went ahead and read some of the items. You know, what are you going to talk about in 2 hours? I don't think it's going to be beneficial.
All right, now Israel.
Following Donna's comment up, are some of these issues of importance or others coming up in these telephonic conferences? Good to know. And secondly, I believe David requested like we can do within our rules have a meeting which we can actually make motions. An LSB meeting.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that wasn't clear.
With proper notice, et cetera, et cetera. Anyhow, so the first question is, Donna or David, are some things coming up in this telephonic conference that's on this agenda or something of equal importance that we, in theory, ought to know about and deal with or not?
The next meeting is face-to-face. We don't have an agenda for the telephonic conference.
Okay, Now, the motion before the floor is that we have, now David, correct if I'm wrong, that we have a meeting at which directors report, but it's not an official LSB meeting.
No. I was proposing that we have an official LSB meeting with a sole agenda item of considering the issues to be brought forth at the National Board meeting.
Okay, then let's make it clear what this motion is. It is calling for an official posted LSB meeting with a single agenda item of PNB, the PNB meeting. It's kind of like the hour that you asked for. It would be on September 28th with the venue to be announced. So that is actually a more important thing to keep in mind. It's not an informal report of the directors, but it's an LSB meeting where actual directions can be given to them and voted on.
And a request that all four directors be there?
Well, to the degree that it's possible, we have a couple, one director is ill, and I don't know. We're going to absolutely
directors
all directors to be there.
Two directors are ill. I'm ill.
Three. Okay. Harrison.
I'm pretty sure that the intent, at least, of Jane's motion on extra meetings was that...
Harrison, don't get so close.
I think that the import of Jane's motion on extra meetings was that was not met. We did not have our two meetings in October. We are now going to have two meetings in October if this motion passes. I think also that, although I'd have to review the bylaws again, I believe that this is not permissible. I also think it's unwise. I think we do need to take up the PNB issues before the meeting, but I think there are other issues that are still... We are not going to finish today that are also crucial. We, for example, could take up the town hall meeting and get that really underway. And so I'm in favor of this motion, but I don't believe we can call a special meeting devoted to one issue. And I think we ought to make the upcoming PMB meeting the highlight of the meeting, but not exclusively. So I'm amending it to strike the part of the solely part.
I'm sorry, Harrison, you were amending it what?
I can't remember the exact wording, but essentially where it says that there shall be only one item, I want to strike that. And if it says special meeting, I want to strike that.
Okay. So, actually, your substitute motion strikes
amendment.
The wording, right, of exclusively devoted to the PMB that could include other agenda items. Now, incidentally, I just want to remind you, I think you said two meetings in October. This would be
September.
The second meeting in September.
Oh, yes, right. Excuse me.
And the other thing I want to remind people, the bylaws clearly state that LSBs can conduct meetings to accomplish their business and their objectives. So there's no prohibition against a second meeting inside a month. That would not be a problem. We could have two meetings in September and two in October. It wouldn't violate the bylaws, at least to my judgment. All right, Leslie.
Again, I'm with Harrison. I'm not familiar with the bylaws, and I don't know the rules about calling a special meeting. I do know that normal meetings require 10 days and 7 days' notice. I'd like, just for my own benefit, because I won't be able to attend, I'd like to know how many of the LSB members here can attend on Tuesday evening, just so we can get a feel for whether this is going to be attended enough and have a quorum.
How many could attend the September 28th meeting?
Before you do the catch back, since Thursday is the night that we approved, what about the 30th? That would give you the amount of time, and it's on a usual night.
Yeah, but we'll be in D.C. that night.
Yeah. What?
We'll be in D.C. that night.
Are you going to be gone on Wednesday, Dave?
I will be preparing to leave Wednesday. I would not make a Wednesday night meeting.
All right. The motion remains for Tuesday, September 28th. We do have a substitute motion from Harrison. Maybe we could go to the question on the amendment. Is there
Can I read from the bylaws about notice and meetings?
Yes, go ahead.
The public and all members shall be notified of each LSB meeting. 4 on-air announcements made during prime time on the radio on 4 different days, beginning whenever feasible, at least 7 days prior to the date of each meeting, shall be considered adequate notice. In the event of LSB meetings convened on short notice for urgent business, all reasonable efforts shall be made to broadcast notice at least 3 times during prime time for 2 days prior to the meeting. Whenever feasible, notice shall also be posted on the station's website at least 7 days prior to each meeting. So we would be fully within compliance of the bylaws.
No, it has to be a set 10 days ahead notice for 7 days.
Oh, no.
Okay, a regular meeting.
Is there a call for the question on this? The question has been called for. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. How many in favor of closing debate on this substitute motion and motion? And going to a vote, signify by raising your cards.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And there's one more you should put up after your turn.
9 and opposed.
Don, can I clarify what Leslie just said about the bylaws?
Yes, please.
Yes, I think for clarity, we'll take David's comment.
Yeah, the time and place. The LSB shall establish by majority vote time and place of each meeting, provided, however, that no meeting shall occur sooner than 10 days from the date of the vote scheduling said meeting without unanimous agreement of all the LSB officers that a shorter period is required to address urgent matters. So that would mean that in order to do it, the Terry and Donna, excuse me, Maria and Sarah would have to unanimously agree.
Thank you. Okay, now let's have the secretary read the substitute motion. It's by Harrison.
Resolved that the LSB meet for 2 hours on Tuesday, September 28th, beginning at 7 p.m.
7:30 p.m.
And that items on the upcoming P&B meeting agenda shall be discussed.
There was also that we spend 10 minutes in this meeting reporting on the issues, so that the board is aware of what the issues are. That was part of the motion.
At the upcoming meeting or this meeting?
No. Right now, that we spend 10 minutes briefing you.
Yeah, we'll do that. And so the spirit of Harrison's motion is that other items technically could be raised at that point.
That's limited.
It's been moved and seconded. We actually have called for the question. Two more debate. Those in favor of shall Harrison's substitute motion, should his substitute motion substitute for the same or the main motion? Those in favor, signify by raising your cards.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Opposed?
1, 2, 3.
Abstentions?
1, 2.
Okay, the motion.
Done.
Okay, the motion passes.
The amendment passes.
The amendment passes. Shall, you know, this always seems so confusing to me. It seems like redundancy. Shall the amendment that just passed, shall that be substituted for the main motion? Is that even what you're
talking about? I'm just saying now we have to vote on whether or not we agree to it. Now we've changed the language of what we're going
to
vote on. Now we vote on
it. But technically, shall the motion, shall the amendment that we just passed replace the main motion? Do we now approve the amended wording? Raise your cards if you wish to do that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
6, opposed?
1, 2.
Can I make
one
a comment?
Moment, just one moment. Let's finish this vote.
It's on this vote.
Okay.
It's on the.
That also passes. Right.
It's on this vote.
The chair recognizes it.
I'm assuming that in accepting Harrison's amendment, we are.
committing ourselves to not adding ad infinitum other items that we are going to discuss. Focus on the PMB and the town hall meeting. Is that correct?
Well, I think the spirit here is that we lead off with the PMB and we spend as much time as we need to really get the PMB.
That's all night.
Actually, it's in Washington on the first, second, and third. We lead off with the PMB, but other items become. Okay, let's go to a report from David and. Oh, here.
Yeah, the town hall, the whole reason that I think Harrison brought the amendment to David was because we have such little time in the town hall that we want to get that on going, so we really need,
that's
it
right.
Has to be part of it. It can't be it. It has to be yes.
Yeah, that's right. So, that's right. Okay. Now, David, would you give us some idea of what you see in store for the PNB, that's the Pacifica National Board of Washington, on October 1, 2, and 3, so.
Yeah. So, like I said, I mean, I think one of the critical issues that's going to be, that I think a lot of people, their eyes would glaze over and think of it as administrivia, is this issue of the contract oversight policy. Because the contracts are really your sort of concrete expression of all your ethics, right? The way you get into contracts, what kinds of things you do. Just to give an example, if we are going to contract with a web service provider or something like that, or we're going to establish, well, to take a dramatic example, the incorporation of free speech radio news into the network is really a form of merger. But there are any number of other major contracts that might be very important. So that's going to be coming forward from the governance committee, although I've heard they're not all together that far along. I think Harrison's on that committee and could comment on that. The biggest deal is going to be the national budget, and there are a few things that impact the national budget. One is this question of whether or not free speech radio news is going to become part of Pacifica, and if so, under what terms. Now, there's a free speech radio news negotiating team, and although they were fast-tracking free speech radio news being absorbed, they didn't. My understanding is that those negotiations have not necessarily gone ahead, but it will get discussed there. And I guess part of the idea is if we bring FSRN in, they want to come in because they would like more funding. So the cost to us would rise, but then the idea would be then we have something to offer in terms of national programming to affiliates. Right now, affiliates, you know, FSRN is not ours, and Democracy Now! Is not ours. So we don't have anything concrete in terms of our own national programming other than some of these special events and now the audio port and some other things that we're trying to put together on an ad hoc basis. We don't really have anything that makes an affiliate want to be an affiliate. That raises the question of what the whole affiliates program means, and I think that'll be discussed a little bit. But in terms of the national budget, so the free speech radio news thing will impact it. There's also a motion about the archives and that came up on the last meeting. And the idea is that the policy has always been that the archives receives 3% of the central services payment that each station makes. In the case of KPFK, it's 2% because we house the archives. And that ever since the prior administration, that hasn't been the case. The prior administration wasn't giving them that money. They were taking that money like they were taking from everybody else. And during the IPMB period, they were made to run on affiliates' income, so they're involved in servicing the affiliates, and they were also made to run on tape sales. The tape sales have dipped significantly because people can order Democracy Now! From Democracy Now! And just as a side note, we're the only station that does a cut-in to tell people to call the archives to buy Democracy Now! But those revenues are probably going to decrease as more and more people become aware that they can download Democracy Now! For free. They don't need to buy CDs. I suspect that anybody capable of paying $15 for a CD within the next year will have a fast internet connection. Maybe that's a bad assumption. But the point is that those revenues for the archives could decrease, and it also turns the archives into a store rather than a library, which is what it is. So that issue is going to come up. There's a possibility of a reorganization of the national office to include a national programming unit and an administrative unit, and the possibilities of adding some full-time equivalents for positions, which I don't understand at all because I don't know where the money would come from. My own position that I would like to put before this board is if there's an expansion of the national office and its funding, that a certain portion of it be funding for a request for proposals. In other words, rather than commit yourself to a salary for a person to do a specific job, they may or may not be good at it, and you're long-term committed, ask people, like, for example, in web development, if you have a proposal for doing web development for the National, write a little proposal, it gets reviewed, it gets funded, and then next year we come back and look at how it's doing. So anyhow, the reorganization of the National office is coming. WBAI budget approval. WBAI has seen a sharp decrease in their rate of fundraising. In other words, the amount of money they raise per day. And their board is split, or maybe not quite split, but their board, there are differences of opinion on whether to approve the given budget projections for that station. And if they don't approve it, then the question comes to the National board. Can the National board just say, okay, we're going to approve it? Can the National board say, we're going to make adjustments to your budget unilaterally? What should be done if a LSB doesn't approve a budget? That's significant for us in the long term. Inter-unit transfers. So there was a problem in the past because there were a lot of inter-unit transfers that were made to meet expenses of the foundation, and there was no process by which it happened. The national office would just come in and say, we need this money from the station. So I put forth a motion that there be a policy on it, and possibly approval, so we might want to think about what we would want out of such a policy. The National Finance Committee is supposed to develop it. We haven't yet. We're meeting on Friday. The Executive Director review, there was originally the way it got done, there was no solicitation of an evaluation from any of the managers or the Archive Director or the Affiliates Director. We passed the motion at the last board meeting to say that we did want those people included, that their information would be aggregated separately. But we're going to be getting the results of the Executive Director review and meeting an executive session to discuss what we want to do on that front. And we've agreed that we wanted an audit of inter-unit transfers that occurred going back to January of 2002. That should be presented at this meeting. I don't know if they'll... Unbudgeted inter-unit transfers. That means that if National came down and said, KPFK, we want $50,000 from you right now because we got some obligations to meet, those things haven't been tracked. We don't know exactly how much any station gave over and above its central services. So we put forth the Finance Committee actually was deadlocked and turned down voting or recommending that. I brought it forward again at the telephonic meeting before last, and it passed 9-1 in favor. That we get that audit so that we know how much each station put in. There'll be a question about what we do about that when it comes forward. One of the resistances to it, to even doing it, was the idea that people would be clamoring to reorganize the load of those payments that, as they were distributed, and people, Lonnie, the CFO, and I think Mark and a couple of others didn't want, Mark Roberts, the chair, were concerned about there being a large squabble then about shifting money around again as a result. So that's an issue. And those, and then lastly, the race and nationality issue is going to come up. And I note that we've had little to no activity from the committees of inclusion. I asked at the last meeting, there was a vote to bring the chairs. I asked to bring the folks from the race and nationality committees to the board so that they could I mean, from the committees of inclusion, so they could meet and advise on the race and nationality, which really issues which haven't been discussed or debated at all. I think I saw that there was 1 hour allotted to it during the course of the weekend. So those are the big issues: budget, race and nationality, ED review, contract oversight, inter-unit transfers, and free speech radio news.
Thank you. Let's open it up to discussion.
Two things. Quickly, I believe at our last meeting we did pass our own resolution on the race and nationality policy. So I think we've taken care of that one. I'm wondering, Dave, if you and or Donna can forward to us the agenda that you have now been given so that we have a better... It's concrete before us as we convene on the 28th, and also if between now and then any listeners and any LSV members who want to be on the task force, the town hall meeting, submit their names so that we've got to, you know, we can move it a little bit more expeditiously at the meeting. And I'm sorry, but I have to go at the 4 o'clock meeting.
Okay. Now, we do have an obligation for 15 minutes of public comment, not just an obligation, but also a desire at the end of this. So the members of the...
That'd
be 15 minutes.
I don't know what
the comment is. Oh, it's not going to be long, no. Now, I want to find out from the board, the report of the PMB gives us an overview. And then we have a meeting on the 28th where there will be a deeper look at this. Is there anything else that we need to talk about, ask David about, raise issues about regarding the PMB?
David, will there be any male, female sent to us beforehand that more fully that fills out the PMB?
May I respond? We have a tentative agenda. I think there are going to be some changes made to it. I can send that around to everybody. I will also resend the list of all the motions that have been passed to date, and any motions that are coming out of committees, I'll ask to have them forwarded to us so that we can get those out to everybody before. I mean, we're supposed to have the board packet by a week before the meeting, so we should have all that information in hand.
I do want to add, before I go to comments, I serve on the PMB Executive Director Evaluation Committee, which has been very active. It developed an instrument to do an evaluation of Dan Kaufman, the National Executive Director. Large numbers of people were sent this instrument. There was a consultant retained to help develop it, professional consultant. So there is in process right now an evaluation of Dan Kaufman, the National Executive Director. And what David mentioned was that the results of this instrument that has been sent out, those results will be presented to the PMB in early October in Washington to begin the process of evaluating the performance, strengths, weaknesses, and so on, with Dan Kaufman. So that's on the agenda. Now, let me see. Was it Jane, and then Leslie, and then Harry? Was it Harrison? Okay.
I don't know. I still want the things that I said before on the table about attendance and unilateral decision. After a committee makes up a motion, it is passed by the LSV, it is not changed by a delegate or delegates. That's how it goes. And the third thing was they are representing us. Well, that's already been taken care of. So the other two, the attendance and no unilateral decisions.
Okay, now let me get this straight. Are you making
a motion?
Okay. Can you state the motion?
Yeah, I'd like to propose that. You know what? Maybe I'll state it next. Let me think about it.
All right.
I'll bring it up first.
Very good. Leslie?
Yes, I have a couple of issues here. First of all,
for our management review committee. Could you forward a blank copy of the evaluation form to the management review committee so we could see that since it was developed by
the professional? Yeah, there should be no problem with that.
And I also would like to ask Dave or Donna, at the Houston meeting, the committee of inclusion had 10 minutes scheduled to make a report. I was wondering if they made that report, if they have a chair, if the national committees have indeed met. I think our elections may be in violation of the bylaws at this point, given the inactivity of our local and national COIs. So I'd really like an update on that. I don't know of any outreach that our local COI has done to recruit candidates. I don't know of any survey of needs of the station that the COIs have done. And I don't want to even think about the ramifications of that because they absolutely terrify me. So I would like some feedback from the two of you on what the COI reported in that 10-minute slot on Saturday.
Well, I want to correct. There's no such thing as a national committee of inclusion. There are local committees.
And they are a body of the PNB, I believe. And did you get the money to bring them to D.C.?
No.
No, thank you.
As to the report, we got a report from one of the members, I believe it was Kalanji Olasegun, who talked about. Well, I have to be careful. I don't recall. I don't recall having any. I certainly know that we didn't get any detailed reports on their progress. If we got anything, it was a report on the attempts to get going on it. But I don't recall any report. No.
Thank you.
I think it was Harris.
I'm really happy that the National Board is taking up the question of the race and nationality policy. I believe there's another motion that was passed by the IPNB, which is binding on the current National Board, and that is the requirement to set a date for a bylaws convention. And I wonder if there's been any discussion at all of that.
Nope.
I have a couple comments to make, but I just want to say, speaking of attendance, we need to have a policy around this board, not to single out one or two people, but I'm very concerned about, and I know management is concerned about, Sara Simone Wyatt's participation as treasurer. It's one thing that people communicate to an officer that they're going to be excused, which was what Margaret Prescott did and others did do. But we do have some problems around attendance on this board where we are not in touch with the individuals. Therefore, maybe not the meeting on the 28th, but at the next meeting, we need to review policy and procedures. People should be aware if they're going to be absent, in order to get an excused absence, they should communicate with an officer of the board. That would be myself, or Maria, or
Terry.
And just to put people on alert that if we actually invoke the bylaws, we would be expelling some membership. Terry.
The structure committee has a resolution if we get to the structure committee report. But since you mentioned it, I would like to move to excuse the absences of those LSP members who have notified from this meeting. That includes Margaret Prescott, Julie Rodriguez. Is there anyone else?
Fernando
Velasquez.
Sonali
Pahatka. So those are four members who have notified us ahead of time that they would not be here.
Okay, is there a second to that?
Second.
It's seconded. Is there any discussion? Leslie?
I would like to, as we have been doing in the past, issue blanket excuses this time until we have a policy clearly in effect and can notify people of that policy. I find it, to do this retroactively and not notify people, I think that's unfair.
Okay, now I'm going to consider that a substitute motion. Is there a second to the substitute?
Second.
It's been seconded. Okay, any discussion over the substitute motion? Jen?
I don't think this is retroactive. I think that this is a policy that is in the bylaws, and every week or every time we have a meeting, we've been giving these blanket excuses. And, you know, it's now October. There's only a couple more meetings. I just think that we need to bite the bullet and insist that people know that they are that they are needed and missed, and that their absence is noted. And we need to move on. We can't, you know, sometimes we barely have a quorum or don't have a quorum. So I am opposed to, I disagree that this is retroactive. It's not retroactive. We need to move on.
You're not opposed to this.
Okay.
No, I'm opposed to her. She's saying we shouldn't do it this time. I'm saying we should start doing it today. Excuse the ones that are excused, and not excuse the ones that aren't excused.
I want to speak to the meetings, because now we said we wanted to have another meeting on the 28th. What has happened to this board has happened to the national board, has happened to our committee meetings. It's just too much. People never set a set meeting, and then you expect people to make changes in their lives. And as someone pointed out, we're all activists. Actually, we're trying to work on stuff, you know, and we just have too many meetings. Too many committee meetings, and too many local and national meetings.
Okay. I think the issue is clearly defined. Is there a call for the question?
Call for the question.
Okay. Those in favor of closing debate on the substitute motion which Leslie proposed, raise your cards, please. Let's see. One, two, three, okay, four, five, six, seven, opposed, abstentions, one, the motion passes.
Two.
Shall the substitute motion of Leslie Bradford be substituted with the main motion?
Wait a minute, which you should read it.
Pardon me?
Have the secretary read it, please.
Yes, go ahead.
I think the sense of the Radford amendment would be to substitute that those LSB members' absence today be excused.
Yes.
But in the future not be excused? Is that it? What is
it's a blanket excuse absence for all who are not in attendance. That's the way. Okay.
In absence of a policy.
Those in favor, raise your cards. One, two, three, four, five, six. Opposed? One, two, three. Abstentions? One, two.
Two.
Okay, two. The motion passes. So we do need now to be in touch with our membership, and we need to establish clearly. We don't have to establish the policy. It's in the bylaws. Three unexcused absences, I believe it is. David, correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct. Correct.
It's three unexcused absences, and we must eventually invoke that, because we rely on people to show up to establish quorums and to do the ongoing work. Other business. Go ahead.
I think we need to have a specific policy around that. They need to notify you or the body or some...
An officer.
Some specific action needs to be required.
Okay. Let's tell people...
Well, you know what? The LSB has a motion. I would like to have that...
The Structure Committee
has a motion. I would like to... which addresses this very issue. Can we have that on the table right now?
No.
Okay. Now, let's just do a time check. What time is it right now? 3:35. One of the reasons we got this venue is that we did have a little time, but we do have 15 minutes of public comment. I'm wondering if we should... Here's what we have not covered in the agenda. The standing committee reports. We did not cover the LSD retreat report back. That could go ahead. Old business, new business, and public comment, which we do want to address now. The chair would recommend that inasmuch as we have a PMV report, we're having a meeting on the 28th, that we move directly to public comment and then adjourn the meeting.
So moved.